That's our prayer today, is that we would give our hearts to God and that He would speak into our hearts and into our lives. We're going to continue in our sermon series through the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 28 today. And I got to warn you as we dive into this, this is a weird chapter. In fact, I would be almost willing to say this is one of the weirdest in the entire Bible. This is a very strange chapter. But I want to just recap on the context here. This is why I like going through whole books of the Bible, because then you can get some of this context and you can see why we end up here. You see, Saul, he's the first king of Israel, but he's not faithful to God at all. And so God has to raise up a new king, a younger one. His name is David, but Saul's holding on. Saul's holding on to a position that he should not have right now. And so because he has been unfaithful and he has removed himself outside of the will of God and he has hardened his heart to what God has for him, he has ended up in a very difficult circumstance, a very dark circumstance. We're going to read about that today. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 28. This is what it says. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are going to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." This is just the last couple of verses. We went over that last week. If you're wondering what's that all about, go on our website, check it out. It's last week's sermon. But this is Saul's story, starting in verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him at Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the Medians and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunammim. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, 'Seek out for me a woman who is a Median, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'Behold, there is a Median at Endor.' And so Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and his two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, 'Divine for me a spirit and bring me up for me whoever I shall name to you.' The woman said to him, 'Surely you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off the Medians and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring me about my death?' But Saul swore to her, 'By the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.' And the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' He said, 'Bring up for me Samuel.' And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, 'Why have you deceived me? You are Saul.' The king said to her, 'Don't be afraid. What do you see?' The woman said to Saul, 'I see a God coming up from the earth.' He said to her, 'What is his appearance?' And she said, 'An old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe.' And Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. And then Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' Saul answered, 'I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by the prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do.' Samuel said, 'Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? Then the Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your son shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hands of the Philistines.' And then Saul fell at once, full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had not eaten anything all day and night. And the woman came to Saul, and she saw that he was terrified. And she said to him, 'Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hands and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set out a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way.' He refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants together with the woman urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had fattened a calf in the house, and she quickly killed it and took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And then they arose and went away that night. Now, like I said, this is a very strange passage. And we're going to talk about the different views on it and what this means, specifically how this affects our lives here today in 2020. So before we do that, though, let's just go before the Lord and ask him for his help with that, because I don't want it to be my words that I'm speaking to you today. I want it to be the Lord's. Father, we just thank you so much for your good and perfect word that we can rely on. And Father, I pray that as we talk about this, God, that it wouldn't be me talking or my ideas or someone else's ideas, but it would be you. Holy Spirit, would you speak into all of our lives? Would you soften our hearts today to what you have for us? God, if you're calling us to something, I pray that you give us the wisdom and the strength and the encouragement to do it. God, if you're calling us to stop something, to get something out of our lives, God, I pray the same, that you would help us to do that. We can't do it by our own volition, but God, we can via your power. And so help us to do that, and help us to be in a deeper relationship with you when we leave this place and when we came in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, two Sundays ago today, there was a demolition crew in Dallas, and they had a very easy task, very routine task. They were to take down a building. It's an 11-story tower near downtown Dallas. I have a picture for you. This is it halfway through, and unfortunately, 2 weeks later today, it still looks like this. It is not down. The project was supposed to take 3 hours, and I was watching the news, and they were explaining this is not coming down anytime quickly. In fact, it may take a couple of more weeks. They're trying to use explosives and wrecking balls, and this thing must have been well-built or something, because it is not coming down, and it still is like this today. And so it's been dubbed the Leaning Tower of Dallas. And so just like people go to take cool pictures of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I have a picture for you of someone who is pretending to kick it. Now residents of Dallas have turned to the same thing with their Leaning Tower of Dallas and have started to take some funny pictures with that. I have a few queued up for you. There's a woman that's pretending to push over their finger. Here's another one pretending to do the same. Here's another one, a couple people kicking the tower or holding up the tower or, again, kicking the tower. And this is funny and all of that. But, you know, as I was watching the news this past week and they were talking about this, you know, I kind of got thinking, like, man, we have, like, some crazy things happening in the world, and this is what's getting news time, right? Like, we have, like, crazy virus that's, like, going to be an epidemic maybe, and different political systems that we've never seen before, and just these crazy things, and yet you're like, is this real? Like, are they really talking about this on the news this morning? And sometimes when I read passages like what we read about earlier in chapter 28, I kind of have to think about, Is this real? Like, what is going on, right? Like, we have all these, like, amazing passages that, you know, apply directly to our lives, and we read something like this, and we're like, this is in the Bible? Like, a king of Israel going to see a medium? Like, this is weird. Some of the translations would even call her a witch. Like, this is just a weird story that we have this morning. But again, I want to just put it in context, because this is where Saul is in his life. He is in the bottom of a downward spiral. He is in the pit of his life. This is rock bottom for Saul. From here on out to the rest of the book of 1 Samuel when he dies, sorry for the spoiler alert, this is like rock bottom for Saul. And so life gets dark and life gets a little weird for Saul, because of the situation he has chosen to put himself in, because he has constantly denied the Lord. God has called him to do things over and over and over again, and he might have a moment of faithfulness where he says, oh yeah, I'll be faithful, but he doesn't follow through with it. And so we know that Saul has hardened his heart, and he has put himself in this situation. You see, earlier in the chapter it says, and this is just a reiteration because it's already told us this in chapter 25, that Samuel, the prophet, is dead. And all around him, Saul, he's the king, and the enemy is just encroaching and encroaching and encroaching. And if you look at the city where it's at, this is like already Israelite territory. Like, it's like they're there. And he's nervous because he knows he can't fight them off on his own. He doesn't have David. David's actually fighting for the other team now. And so Saul is like, man, I'm done for. I don't know what to do. And it says that Saul inquires of the Lord, and the Lord does not answer him. And so he's pushed between a rock and a hard place. And eventually it says that he had put out all the mediums and all the necromancers, but he says that, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to go because I just want a word from the Lord. And so he goes to this lady that they call medium, or again, some translations call her a witch, and he asks her to conjure up Samuel. Even though he's dead already, the prophet, he says, I need to hear from God. I know Samuel has an in with God as a prophet. I need to hear from him. And he has this weird encounter with Samuel, back from the dead. And this is like a weird story. So before we go and we talk about what this means for our lives, I just want to talk about real quickly some different views of what this is. Because people have differing views on maybe what's going on in this passage. I think that there is one clear one that's correct though. Here's the first view with it. Number one, it could be that the medium was hallucinating everything, right? The medium, she was just, she was maybe under a trance, or maybe she was just hallucinating. This really didn't happen. Here's why I think that this is kind of just I think an escape of the truth here, though. I think it's just someone's excuse to say, oh, I don't want to deal with this chapter, so let's just move on. It's all hallucination. The problem is we have Saul talking directly to Samuel. So not only would it have to be her hallucination, it would also have to be Saul's hallucination, and they would have to be hallucinating the exact same thing. We know that no matter what kind of drugs you take, you're not going to hallucinate the exact same thing of someone else. And so I'm not happy with that view. The second view is that the medium was being intentionally deceptive. Right, she was being intentionally deceptive. She didn't like maybe King Saul, and so maybe she wanted to maybe just kind of throw him off a little bit. That works up until we have, again, Saul talking directly to Samuel. That doesn't make any sense. How would she be deceptive? And we have to ask motive, too. Like, why would she be deceptive? Now, it does say that Saul did kick out all the mediums, and so maybe she had a little bit of a grudge, but again, it just doesn't answer the question, how are they talking directly to each other, Saul and Samuel? It also says that she kind of cries out with a loud voice, right? And that she didn't know it was Saul to begin with. And so this view doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, though. There is a third view, and I, if someone wanted to believe this, I don't know that I would necessarily say that they're absolutely wrong. I don't have any strong evidence to prove that. I do have evidence to prove that the fourth one is maybe the best view. But this third view is that it was just a demonic impersonation of Samuel. Now, this could be the case. Now, it could be that the devil has taken over the medium, that she has, or that the devil has chosen to come through that and to speak to Saul in that way. Because of, again, where Saul has been. He's been unfaithful. He's hardened his heart. This is a possibility. Here's the reason, though, that I don't think that's the case. And that's because of what Samuel, the dead prophet, says to Saul. He says to Saul, hey, listen, why did you call me up? That was dumb. You're disturbing me. I am in rest right now. Stop it. You're going to die tomorrow. Deal with it. I'll talk to you tomorrow when you're here with me, right? Like, that's basically my translation of what Samuel says to Saul. Now, how would he know that? If this is a demonic impersonation of Samuel, typically when we see that, they're not speaking truth, right? The devil doesn't speak truth. He might speak half-truths. But the enemy of our soul, it says that in 1 Peter, it says that he prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. And so if he's seeking to devour Saul through this encounter that he has with him, he could just say, well, you know what? You need to just go keep running, or you need to go right into the hand of the Philistines, and that way he'll die. You know, there could be some kind of dangerous situation that he could have led him towards. We don't see that. We actually see Samuel speaking truth into Saul's life. It's an unfortunate truth, but it is a truth, which is why I think the fourth way to view this story is actually the right way, and that is that it is a true but very strange story. This story is a genuine encounter that Saul has with a dead person. which is a little scary when we think about it, that this can actually happen. However, just because we see it in Scripture does not mean that this is an example of the way that we are to act. Again, this is why I like taking things in context. Because Saul has been unfaithful again and again and again. And this is like the pit of his life right now. This is what he has chosen to go do at the lowest part of his life. He has chosen to go see a medium. Which is why I would say this. Christians should never seek out spiritual wisdom or knowledge outside of the one true God. Now, I have that in your note outline, and I want you to write that in like bold and caps. Never. The Christian should never seek this out. And in case you're wondering, and you may say, okay, listen, I'm not going to go talk with dead people. That's really weird. I do have a list of ways that maybe is more socially acceptable that we see. It's in your note outline, but I want to read it to you just so that we're all clear and we're all on the same page, that seeking out spiritual wisdom or knowledge outside of the one true God would include things like going to see mediums, reading horoscopes, tarot cards, astrology, fortune tellers, divination, palm readers, psychics, the occult, Ouija boards, magic arts, witchcraft, and spiritism. Now, if you read that or listened to that list and you thought, I don't know what half those things are, that's a good thing. In fact, I would go so far to say, when I say the word Taurus and your mind goes to a horoscope instead of a very mediocre car made by Ford, we have a problem, right? Like, you should think of the car, not the horoscopes, okay? Why? Because it is never okay to seek out spiritual wisdom outside of the one true God. Never. And that's why I put that in bold caps. Never. Now, I do want to point something out real quickly before we move on. Because you may be saying, yeah, but listen, Saul like went to God, right? Doesn't it say he went to God and he sought an answer and God refused to answer him? Well, that's true. But if you read that verse carefully, it says that Saul inquired of the Lord. There are many people who inquire of the Lord without seeking the Lord. Do you see the difference there? It's like this. If I am constantly living my life however I want to and constantly hardening my heart over God, what God has for me, and I'm not doing it, the minute I have a hard time in life, the minute maybe, let's say, I lose my job and I cry out to God, God, why did this happen? Or I lose a loved one and I cry out, God, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to this person? That's inquiring. But the moment that God puts something on my heart and I say, you know what, God, you're right. I am sorry. I don't want to live my life like that anymore. That is seeking after God. Saul, unfortunately, only inquired of God. You see, it's very easy just to ask something from God, right? People do that all the time. Even non-Christians do that all the time, right? Like, oh, God, help me win the lottery. Or, God, I really hope that I get to live in that house or in that state someday or whatever it might be. But that's not seeking God. Seeking God is turning from my own ways and saying, God, I don't want to live my life the way that I want to. I want you to dictate how I live my life. I put away my preferences and I say, God, whatever you have for my life is now it, whatever that is. That's seeking after the Lord. And when that happens, God will never turn you away. When you seek after God, God will never, ever, ever turn you away. There is no evidence that we have, not one person in the entirety of Scripture ever seeks out God and God turns them away. However, and this is a good example of this, we do have people who have hardened their hearts to God and yet inquire of God certain things and God doesn't answer them. Why? Because they're not seeking after him. They're seeking after themselves. And I think we have a good example of that because Saul is just, he is just up against the enemy right now. And I think the only reason that he's even inquiring of God is because he doesn't want to lose a battle. And that's unfortunate. And some people only go after God when things get rough, right? How's your prayer life like? Do you pray in the good times and the bad times or just the bad times? Is your prayers just maybe more inquiring? Or are they seeking after God and saying, you know what, God, I don't want to live my life the way I want to, but how you want me to. But let me get back to the point here. Christians are never to seek out these spiritual knowledge or wisdom outside of the one true God. And in fact, the Bible talks a lot about that. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. It says, if a person turns to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from among his people. Deuteronomy also brings up this same idea. It says, there shall be not found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. Now you might say, okay, that's good for the Old Testament. What about today? Do those things even happen in the New Testament era? We actually do have records of that. Take a look at Acts chapter 16. This is in Paul's ministry. He says this, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And she kept doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, which I understand, I would be too, he turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. Later on in Acts chapter 19, it also gives this story of people who are coming to this saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And look at this, verse 18, let's pick it up. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. It also says this, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found that it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. In today's money, that's over $4 million. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Here's the deal, guys. You already have everything you need to get all the information you could ever want from God. You already have that. Take a look at 1 Peter. He says this, his divine power has granted to us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Which is why there is no need ever to seek out different things. Seek out to go to a palm reader, to go to a fortune teller or a psychic. Now you may say, oh, well, you know, I'm just having fun with them, with the tarot cards or the Ouija boards. Oh, it's just fun. It's just a game. Listen, guys, this stuff is real, and it's not something that you want to play around with. Like I said earlier, in 1 Peter, it says that the enemy of our souls, the devil, is prowling around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. This is not something you want to play around with. There's a battle for your soul right here, right now. There is a battle for your soul, and there will be for the rest of your life. You want to go hang out with the enemy. You never see a soldier just kicking back, grabbing a burger with the enemy soldiers, right? This is not something you would ever expect to see. Why? Because it's crazy. It's also crazy as Christians to spend any time or seek out any of these things on this list. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just things that I thought about that are popular in today's cultures. There's tons of other things that you could seek out outside of that list that would be dishonoring to God. So here's my challenge for you as your pastor, because I love you. I don't want to see you get caught up in these things. They're only going to lead you astray. So here's my challenge for you as your pastor that loves you. Don't. And if you have one of these things, maybe you have tarot cards or a Ouija board at home, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick it up, and I want you to throw it in the garbage. Like, not next week, not next month, like as soon as you get home. Because there's no reason to have those things in your house. I want to talk about just quickly a couple more aspects of this story as we talk about hearing from God. Because you could say, well, yeah, but you know what? Sometimes I hear from God, and those things help me. Those things help me to hear from God. Here's the deal, guys. That isn't the case. God doesn't need those things. In fact, he's given you everything that he needs to communicate with you. It's through prayer and scripture right here. So here's what I want you to write down in your note outline. God will never contradict himself. God will never contradict himself. This scripture is his word. The Bible is his word, and he will never contradict his word. So if you ever feel like you have something from the Lord, here's the deal. Filter it through scripture. Filter that through scripture. I had a lady, once she came to the church here, and she was needing help. She was living out of this really old, pretty ran-down van, and she had told me her story, and halfway through her story, she was telling me about how she got in this situation, that she got in this kind of financial mess, and she said that she had bought this really, really nice car, and I knew that car brand, and I know that that car brand does not hold up. It's very expensive. It's a luxury brand. It just doesn't hold up. This would be great if maybe you have money that you just like to flush down the toilet, but that's not the case for most of us, right? And so I just asked her, I was like, you know, that's kind of a unique car to buy. Why would you buy that? And she said, oh, well, here's the deal. God speaks to me in threes. And I saw this commercial online. Krebnet Amnesty, 10 cents down, right? No credit, bad credit needed, right? We've all heard the commercials, right? They're annoying, right? Okay, she said, I heard that commercial three times, and God speaks to me in threes. So that means God wanted me to go buy that car. I got to tell you guys, that's just simply not the case. That probably just means you're watching too much TV, right? I mean, that's just not the case. God may speak to you through different avenues, but filter it through scripture, because if she would have filtered it through scripture, she wouldn't have made that decision and got herself into that horrible situation. You have to filter it through scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen, God will not contradict himself. I want you to read Numbers chapter 23. Look at this. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said, will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? James 1:5 simply puts it like this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So here's the last thing I want as we end today. Here's what I want you to write in your note outline. And that's this. God wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants to communicate with you. You know, so many times I hear people say, you know, I feel like this is how I connect with God, is maybe through a palm reader, or maybe through the Ouija board, or maybe through whatever, fill in the blank. Listen, guys, you don't need that. God says, I've given it to you. Jesus Christ died on a cross so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could have a relationship with God. Sin has eternally separated us from God, and yet Jesus' death on the cross provides us a way to have an open relationship and communication with him. And that's all we need. We don't need anything else. And so as we end today, I want to just read you a quick passage from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I feel like he summarizes all of this better than I could ever summarize it myself. He says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's my challenge for you this week. Again, if you have any of those things listed on that list, or something else that would fit on that list, I want you to go home and I want you to throw it in the garbage. And here's my other challenge, because my guess is for most of us, we probably don't have these things in our house. My other challenge for you is to seek God. Not in a selfish way that I'm just inquiring for my own needs, but in a genuine way. To say, God, I'm done living my life the way I want to. I want to live it for you. Don't fall in the same trap that Saul fell into. Don't fall into that same trap where someday you wake up and you're in a very, very dark place where you're turning to some of these things. Go to God, seek him out, and he'll never turn you away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And God, as we respond to you and as we've heard this and as we think about maybe what you're putting in all of our hearts, God, I pray that we wouldn't just leave what you've said here. I pray that it would affect us. God, if any of us have sought after these things for knowledge or even just pure enjoyment, God, I pray that we would repent of this, that we would get rid of them, and that we would never turn back to them ever again. And that, God, we would always and constantly seek after you, always in our life. God, we thank you so much that you died on a cross for all of our sins and to have this relationship with us. And I pray that, God, we wouldn't waste that, but we would say, yes, God, we want that. We want to have that relationship with you, and we're going to constantly seek after you day in and day out. That's what we want to do, Jesus. We just thank you so much for the sacrifice you gave for each and every one of us. So help us not to waste that. Help us to live our lives in a way that honors and glorifies you with every single thing we've got. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.